You're listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
We will be bringing you conversations with industry influencers and experts discussing a variety of topics focused on our theme, because relationships matter.
Now let's dive in. Hello, welcome to the And I Quote podcast. I'm Ashley Burton, one of the co-hosts of the podcast, and today I have the extreme pleasure of chatting with our guest, Tony Conyers. Tony is an amazing industry expert in the insurance space. He's the co-founder of Insurance Nerds, which is really, as most of us know, the go-to source for talent development and career management throughout the insurance industry. And then I'm just excited to jump in the conversation today because from hosting his own podcast to being a published author and speaker, creating networking opportunities for insurance professionals, Tony is someone who's really passionate about just supporting the overall insurance industry, but then really with a focus on millennials. So really excited to talk about that. And then you're also the senior recruiting partner at Goodwin Recruiting, overseeing the insurance and insurtech vertical. So first of all, welcome to the And I Quote podcast, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Very excited to have you on today. So really just to get into it with our audience, let us know, you know, more about you, your background, and what got you started in the insurance industry.
So I fell into insurance by accident, just like most people, basically. I get my CPCU in the first few months at Nationwide. That's kind of the big insurance designation. Yeah. And I became really active both with CPCU and with Toastmasters. Mm. So Toastmasters public speaking training. Okay. What is today Insurance Nerds, mm-hmm. started as just part of the Nationwide Gen Y Associate Resource Group, or the Young Professional Associate Resource Group. But a lot of what I did in the Gen Y group was take what I had learned elsewhere, okay. just by having good mentorship. Mm-hmm. When I left, I really missed that work. Okay. So I called Carly Burnham, who also came from Nationwide. She was my co-founder at Insurance Nerds, and basically said, "Hey, I'd love to continue doing the work we were doing at Gen Y for the rest of the industry." And that's how Insurance Nerds was born. So Insurance Nerds is born as a blog to help you grow your insurance career. Mm-hmm. And then I happened to connect with this guy called Nick Lamparelli. He was looking. He became involved in this Silicon Valley VC world, yeah. also because he was looking for funding to create an insurtech, mm-hmm. And so he was a fan of what we were doing at Insurance Nerds. So we became friends, and he offered the idea, you guys should start a podcast. By sheer accident, number one, I'm there at the birth of insurtech. Mm-hmm. Number two, Nick, who's actually seeing this happen much more clearly than I am, because he's much more embedded trying to get his own insurtech mm-hmm. off the ground. Mm-hmm. Builds this thing to like 150 episodes, and it comes back to me. So I inherit the largest podcast in insurtech. All I have to do was keep running it. So basically, my insurance career continues. I am very involved with CPCU. I keep running Insurance Nerds. Mm-hmm. Eventually, a lot of my focus has been how do we engage and retain millennials within insurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and one of the things that Insurance Nerds does is chatwithtony.com, mm-hmm. where any insurance or aspiring insurance professional can get on my calendar for free career advice. It's super rewarding to see them mm-hmm. grow. Mm-hmm. And number two, it feeds me a lot of intelligence about what's going on mm-hmm. With the talent, right? Yeah. So my clients who I recruit for, who are the ones that pay the bills, mm-hmm. I can give them really good really good info on what's going mm-hmm. on with the talent out there.
Yeah.
And especially what the young talent wants, I talk to them every day. It's completely paying off mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Chadwick 20 feeds me a lot of candidates. Yeah. And not only that, it's been long enough that people that I had Chadwick 20 conversations with have grown into leadership roles, and now they come back and use me as a recruit. Same thing with the podcast. The podcast that basically fell into my lap, mm-hmm. Thanks to that story that I told you earlier, nowadays feeds me a whole bunch of recruiting business also.
And I want to kind of tap into that a little bit, because obviously you're talking to young professionals, you've grown as a professional. What is some of the best advice that either A, you've received, or that you've even, you know, given to those that you meet with and speak with throughout your day to day?
Insurance and insurtech, mm-hmm. which are ultimately kind of the same thing, just how much technology are we using, mm-hmm. Is a fantastic career.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic career with a lot of crappy entry-level jobs. Right? So basically, if you fall into it, which is probably why you're listening to this episode, know that it's a fantastic career. Know that there's a whole bunch of roles that you just have no idea exist because you can't see them from where you're at. Know that the rabbit hole is very, very, very deep when it comes to technical insurance. Mm-hmm. You will never run out of stuff to learn. Okay. So jump in with both feet and learn everything you can, starting with your day role, mm-hmm. with your day job, starting with what you're doing today, mm-hmm. and also learning the broad picture of the insurance ecosystem, so that you can start finding places you can grow to, like the how to learn and mm-hmm. how to find the ecosystem, mm-hmm. Because your company's probably not going to tell you, at least not a traditional carrier. The company's not going to, they might pay for it, but they won't tell you. If you're in property casualty, ultimately, especially carrier side, you want CPCU.
Okay.
Chartered Property Casualty Underwriter. Mm-hmm. the same organization does CPCU, does a bunch of other smaller ones, but you eventually want CPCU. If you're on the broker side, CPCU is fantastic, but CIC, the Certified Insurance Counselor, much mm-hmm. more popular, much more recognized on the broker side. Yeah. So maybe that's where you want to start. Mm-hmm. Those are the two big ones in PNC. Yeah. If you are in the professional line side of PNC, mm-hmm. then our PLU is mm-hmm. is probably where you should start. Okay. And if you're in the life insurance side, then CLU is probably, from the American College, is probably mm-hmm. the one to aim for ultimately. Having one of those four in your resume is going to make it much easier to get the next interview for any job in our industry. Mm-hmm. And also, any of those are going to give you a lot of knowledge that you can not only apply in your job, but that in an interview, you can show a bigger picture understanding of what insurance is. And also, network, both internally and externally. Mm-hmm. You never know. Be nice to everybody because this industry is this big. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the networking piece, that part was super easy for me mm-hmm. just because I'm an extreme extrovert. Mm-hmm. If you are not an extreme extrovert, if you're on the opposite end of the spectrum, and we have a lot of those
because
there are areas of insurance that attract and that really benefit from those types of mm-hmm. of personalities and those types of brains. I highly recommend Quiet by Susan Cain. It's a book that will teach you how to lean into your strengths as an introvert. And come across the best you can in a business world that gives unfair advantages to extroverts like me. To learn how to network very, very, very well, Never Eat Alone. Highly recommend those two books all the time. They're probably the two that I recommend the most in Chat with Tony conversations. And then find your community, whether both in your company. For me at Nationwide, it was the Gen Y group. And then outside the company, for me, it was the CPCU Society. And on the InsurTech side, the best open, easy to get into community might be the Insurance Nerd Slack, which anybody can join at insurancelack.com.
No, those are all solid connects, and those are great. Like you said, especially someone just getting started. I actually remember the Insurance Nerd Slack channel, and just, you know, awesome. Some of the insights and just being able to connect with, you know, I'm specifically in the marketing vertical of insurance, but still being able to, you know, kind of tap into other brains, ask questions generally and not feel judged for asking what might be, you know, amateur questions and things like that. But I think those are all great, you know, suggestions for networking. And I think, you know, the advantage now of having an online online community, right? Like, I think years ago probably was a little bit more challenging, but definitely having so many different forums for connecting online, I think has been really beneficial for those just getting started. But I want to circle back to something you were talking about. So now you've been able to like kind of develop, you know, maybe some that are entry level in their careers and now they're into leaders. And then now some, it's full circle, right? So now they're in the position to, you know, retain and source talent from different areas. So what advice do you give to someone in that position, right? Like they've stepped into this leadership position, they're looking to grow their team, but maybe they want to do it a little bit differently than has been done traditionally in insurance. Like, what's your thought process there?
Yeah. One thing that as an industry we do badly is our hiring process is long and painful. And it doesn't matter if you're brand new to the industry and trying to get your first insurance job or you're experienced, it's long and painful. The more that you can do to make your hiring process streamlined and less painful, you're going to benefit a lot. Another thing that we don't do very, very well in the hiring process is being open-minded to transferable skills. So we are just obsessed, and not so the insurtech side. You guys are much better, but traditional carrier, traditional brokers, obsessed with specific experience coming from insurance. And I get it; this is a weird industry, but we're never going to solve our talent issues. We continue having the problems that we have recruiting if we don't learn to be open minded to other backgrounds that were not insurance. So for example, right now, in 2023, as we record, there's a fire sale on mortgage people, right? Because of high interest rates, it's hard to buy a house right now. So there's a lot of mortgage people out there with, let's say, 3 to 5 years of experience. It's an industry that's not too different from ours, right? It's another financial service. Generally, they have business degrees. We can teach them insurance. Right, so be open minded to those kind of skill sets. There are times when like in 09, 10, 11, finance people were on fire sale, right? Because their industry had completely collapsed, and we were holding strong. So right now, right, end of first quarter 2023, tech people, right? Tech has had, I don't know, 300,000 people have been downsized in the last 12 months. Amazing opportunity to bring those skill sets into the fold of the insurance side. Now, paying attention to that, paying attention to the alternative skill sets that could be easily trained into insurance is something that we don't do well. We should learn to better integrate other skill sets. Absolutely,
I would agree with that. It's quite interesting, like similar non-traditional path into insurance. I came from the automotive industry and account management, and you know, started getting experience like working with some of the larger carriers in that role. But coming over to Coterie, it's been like so interesting to me because I would say we're about, you know, maybe 50-50, like half, you know, legacy insurance carrier folks and half like completely other industries. But I think what that makes for is really innovative, you know, ideas, concepts, things that we can really build, especially on the technology front, right? And so I think to your point, like that is where the industry has to head, where we just have to have more of an open mind in terms of transferable skills and knowing that insurance can't be taught, right? Like there's those other things that can't be taught.
This is not rocket surgery. the DEI side, crucially important. I came to DEI because of the generational side, right? So my interest was millennials, and then millennials grew into Gen Zers, who are significantly different. And I don't understand them nearly as well as I understand millennials. I've been working on it, but still. Both millennials and Gen Zers consider DEI to be an absolute non-negotiable. This is not going away. This is just a reality of the business world going forward. And demographics is demographics predicts the future, basically. There's a better phrase. Demographics is destiny, okay? Demographically, we're going to have to get much better at dealing with better integrating DEI. And that goes for racial, that goes for LGBT, that goes for neurodiversity, right? And I'm sure if we were talking 2 years from now, we'll be talking about other things that hadn't even, that we hadn't even thought about, right? Neurodiversity is a great example. We're talking about now, we really weren't thinking about it a few years ago. Or the T in LGBT, right? Trans issues we just were not thinking about 3 or 4 years ago. Even in the traditional, just racial diversity, right? We're still not good at recruiting from HBCUs, right? We need to get good at that. It makes no sense that we're not good at that. Had a great conversation just a couple weeks, not a podcast recording, but just a great conversation a couple weeks ago with a friend from CPCU who like myself is not Black, but who's married her partner is Black. So because of that marriage, she's been able to see a lot more into that world, and she's trying to get her company, a very traditional insurance organization, to be more active with the HBCUs. And the really fascinating thing that she brought to me is this idea of you can't just show up at career fair. You have to be there the whole time, right? And the companies that do it well, none of them are insurance companies. The companies that do it well have a presence on campus from freshman year, right? I had no idea, right? That's not the world that I come from. Those kinds of things we need to get much better at. Those kinds of strategic thinking when it comes to hiring, rather than just tactically, how do we fill the roles we have right now?
Right. And it has to be authentic, right? Like it can't 100%. Be, you know, like you said, just show up at the career fair. And that will not, I don't think, have those significant effects as the industry needs. So I agree 100% with that. And it's, I mean, it's interesting now to see it become more of a focus, but it will be interesting to see like what the next, you know, 5-10 years look like in that area. It really will.
And you know, our industry has gotten significantly more diverse. But it's still missing at the very top. Right? So even just with women, something like 56% of insurance professionals are women. The leadership, something like 14%, right? If we're still in that if the numbers still look like that 5 or especially 10 years on the road, we have thoroughly failed, and we will be paying for it horribly when it comes to recruiting efforts, when it comes to our retention efforts, et cetera. We simply can't let that happen. We have to get it right. We have to not only recruit diverse talent, but we have to help them grow.
Mentorship. Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, it's the recruiting. That's really like the first step. Right. And then it's that mentorship, that sponsorship, right? Like we get into these roles, and then who's going to be that voice at the next level advocating, you know, to get this, you know, whether it's a Black person or a female or whatever that might be, into that next level of role and really like helping develop those skills too, right? I think there's so many different factors and layers there, but I think just to start seeing the movement in the right direction does feel encouraging. But like to your point, I definitely want to see more, and I want to see, you know, what the next few years look like. But I think there's such a diverse pool out there, and even like the interest in insurance. I think, you know, that's been interesting to me to see like so many different groups become more interested in insurance and insure tech, right?
I happen to mention women, and it's such a basic part of diversity, right? And we're still not getting it quite right once you look towards the leadership. It is important for the leadership to realize that since I graduated college in 06 to today, more than half of college degrees have gone to women, significantly more than half. And that number keeps increasing. Men are falling behind. Okay. So if you're not very good at both recruiting and growing women into leadership, you're gonna be fighting over less and less people, right? It's you're missing out on entirely too much. There'll come a point where it's a matter of survival. You're missing out on way too much talent, basically. The CSR role, right? The role that handles servicing the accounts. So most of the producers are men, most of the ones bringing in the business. We need to fix that problem. But almost 100%. It gets ridiculous. It's like 85 to 90% of the CSR and account managers in agencies are women. Mm-hmm. And historically, they've been women, high school educated women who stay forever mm-hmm. and become the lifeblood of your agency when it comes to retaining business mm-hmm. and getting renewals. And those women are disappearing, literally. I look at our generation. I'm 40 now. I'm assuming that you're a millennial younger than me, but a millennial. Mm-hmm. I look at my girlfriend and I look at the women that call into Chat with Tony, the ones that I try to recruit for jobs.
Yeah.
That demographic of the high school educated female who will stay at your agency forever, disappearing,
yeah.
Right? It's a job that needs to be reinvented. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing the research for that presentation, what really blew me away is that when you take the aggregate in, this was 2022, right?
Okay,
so in the fall of 2022, the freshman class that started college,
mm-hmm.
if you aggregate all almost 4,000 schools in the U.S., okay. there's 1.9 women for each guy.
Insane. Almost
it's
double.
Insane. For agency owners recruiting,
mm-hmm.
you simply cannot continue.
Yeah.
You're not going to have service people.
No.
Right?
No.
Also, we really haven't talked about remote at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm remiss in that.
Mm-hmm.
Remote is a huge, huge deal. And by the way, remote is a DEI issue also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Because the research is very clear. Number one, that the employees love remote. Management doesn't love it, but the employees love remote. Number two, they're just as productive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they as innovative? Right, we'll have to figure that part out.
Yeah.
But they're just as productive when it comes to actually getting the day job done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the remote revolution during COVID brought into the workforce a bunch of physically differently abled people.
Yes. Yep.
Who before were not able to work. Their labor participation actually rose while almost every other demographic has decreased.
Yeah.
And it also kept women with small children in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So radically important
mm-hmm.
that we get remote right.
Yes.
Because especially in insurance
right.
where we don't make widgets.
Yeah.
It gives you a huge advantage in recruiting. It mm-hmm. gives you a huge advantage in retention.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a huge advantage with the younger generation. And it gives you a huge advantage with some parts of the diverse groups
yeah.
that have a harder time coming into the office every day, right? Dear people in the leadership, please remember that our generation does not have stay-at-home spouses.
Yeah.
I think I know yeah. two.
Yes.
Right. Out of my thousands of like yeah. colleagues, I think I know yeah. two
mm-hmm.
whose spouses are stay at home. Right. Yeah. Like it's just not affordable.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a middle class lifestyle mm-hmm. in 2023.
Yep. You know, just where do you see like the biggest opportunity for like A, kind of transforming this industry, and B, just really developing, like now, like you said, now we're getting into, you know, Gen Z, like developing Gen Z into A, being interested in insurance, and also like developing their careers in insurance. Like what opportunity lies there?
A couple of years ago, I was very, very confident in how to answer this question because we were talking mostly about millennials, right? And especially just before COVID. Get them the right technology, make sure that they understand the mission, encourage them to get insurance education. The more insurance education they get, the less likely they are to leave the industry. And, you know, give them as much flexibility as you can, casual clothes, let them work from home once or two days a week kind of thing. And that millennials, that works. Gen Z is a lot harder. I don't have good answers yet, honestly. Like, in fact, one of the most worrisome things, and I don't have a solution for it, one of the most worrisome things that I'm seeing is the number of Gen Zers, many of them with RMI degrees, who had what looks to me as a fantastic start in the industry compared to my start and compared to most of us. Who are 3 or 4 years in, and they're disillusioned, and they're either checking if the grass is greener on the other side, or quiet quitting, right? Or just kind of like no longer like actively investing in trying to grow themselves. That worries me a lot, and I don't know yet. And hopefully it's just a small portion, and hopefully it's just that because I'm visible and I'm a long-haired hippie, and hopefully I just attract a crowd that's more likely to be restless. But I do see a lot of restlessness within our like 2 to 4 year employees who are having such a great start to their career.
Right. I think it's that like engagement, like figuring out how to keep them engaged and in meaningful ways, right? Like the ping pong table at the office isn't necessarily like the thing anymore, right? Like I think there's like, what's your cause? What's your why as a company? And as a, you know, it's like fantastic. Those sorts of things are really going to be most impactful, I think, to Gen Z. But agreed, I don't think anyone at this point has it completely figured out. But those are just the things that I've seen so far.
Yep, I agree with that completely.
Yeah. So no, it'll be interesting to see what the industry holds. But I just appreciate you, you know, coming on today, Tony. This has been a fantastic conversation, and just love, you know, hearing your thought process and you're picking your brain a little bit, and just really appreciative of what you're doing in the industry. I think it's, you know, really needed and as well as appreciated in terms of just developing talent, speaking your truth, and just being authentic. So thank you so much for joining me today, and hope that we can connect again soon sometime.
Thank you. Absolutely my pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
We will be hosting episodes with industry experts on a variety of trending topics this year, and would really love for you to listen and subscribe.
Coterie Insurance is on a mission to simplify small business insurance for agents, brokers, and our partners. To learn more about Coterie Insurance and this episode, please visit our show notes below.